Okay. Did we get handouts tonight? Okay. We're back in our series on discipleship and stepping up. And eventually, we will finish. This is our summer series, and we're going to be done before Christmas. I guarantee it. Okay. Summer was a little bit long this year. Let's pray. We'll get started. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for tonight. We just pray that you would be with us, still our hearts. Lord, help us to be encouraged, to be taught, and Lord, some things that would help us and maybe help us as we seek to help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we've mentioned on many occasions when it comes to being a disciple, the key word is commitment, okay? A disciple is someone who is more committed to the things of God and the things of faith than maybe someone who's just a Christian, but they're not really living their faith on a daily basis. And so that's what we've been looking at, and we're going through our steps of faith there, which is also part of our discipleship class, which we will touch on in a little bit. But and so we've been looking at that. We said, number one, it starts with salvation. We looked at salvation. Of course, after salvation comes baptism. Baptism is not a step of salvation. Baptism is a step of obedience that occurs after salvation. Then we looked at growth through devotion, spending time and getting close to God. Then we started in step two, which has 2 points, connection to others. We do that through our adult Bible classes on Sunday morning. They're a little bit smaller, and you meet together there. And then we talked about commitment to church. We finished up on that last week. Now we're into our third step, and we started on personal discipleship. Now, we talked about being a disciple early on. A disciple is one that has a little deeper commitment, is following the prerequisites that Christ is giving us. And so we started with that. We looked at letter A last week. This starts with a personal decision to be a disciple. You're only as good a Christian as you decide that you want to be. Okay? I'll say that again. You're only going to be as good a Christian as you decide you want to be. Remember, it's never God's fault if you're not as close to him as you feel you should be or you feel you want to be. God is always there. It's how are we responding? What are we doing? And the fact of the matter is, most of us have just never come to that point after we've trusted Christ where we say, I want more than just being saved. I am going to give my life to Christ, and I'm going to follow him and seek to do whatever he tells me to do. And that's a decision, and we looked at that last week. Let's look at something new now. Look at letter B. Understand that growth as a disciple comes in steps. Understand that growth as a disciple comes in steps. As anything, you sit here and we preach maybe on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and God speaks to your heart about something. And so you decide, there's something I need to do in my life, or something I want to become, or you respond to whatever the message is. And so after the message, you come down and you get on the altar and you start to pray, Lord, you spoke to my heart about this thing. And maybe sometimes it's very specific. God's dealing with you about something you know that you're supposed to deal with in your life. And so you get there and say, Lord, I'm going to deal with this, and I'm going to get to where I need to be. I'm going to become what I'm supposed to be. When you get up off the altar and you go back to your seat, it hasn't been settled. The decision's been settled, but the practicality of it has not been settled. Yeah. That's the starting point. If you are saved and you're like, you know, I want to be an honest-to-goodness disciple of Christ. I want something deeper. That's the decision. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. Right. Now it starts. Now you need to start taking the steps that you're supposed to take to get to where that decision you made wants you to be. Okay? Now, there are two practical steps you need to take. You see, the decision to be a disciple starts the process. It doesn't end it. Okay? What are the two steps? They're very simple. Now, there's a lot involved in each of the steps, but the steps themselves are simple. First of all, there are going to be steps of addition. Addition. Look at 2 Peter there, chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I like that. In other words, everything God's given us, and he's given us his divine power so that we can have changes in two areas, life and godliness. Godliness is a spiritual aspect of our life. And I understand, don't cut fences with me, that everything we do is spiritual for a Christian. But that's a spiritual part of our life, godliness, okay? But life is just the stuff of life, the things that go on in our life, okay? You know, the Bible speaks about a lot of those things. Well, you know, handling my finances, that's not a spiritual thing. You know, the Bible talks about that. Talks about labor. It talks about all kinds of things. There's even stuff in there about things that will help with your health and practical things you do. So the Bible speaks to all of those things in our life. And the more we grow, the more that starts to help in all of these areas of life. But he says, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wherefore are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He gives us his promises in Scripture, and those promises come with his divine power, and they help us. Fact of the matter is, the two areas we're going to look at are going to be in there. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, what are the next four words there? I think they're highlighted. Add to your faith. What is adding? That means taking what you have and adding something to it. Common sense, right? Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? If we add these things to our faith, we won't be barren. You think of barren, you think of the desert. There's nothing growing there. Tumbleweeds aren't actually growing. I think they're dead and they're blowing away. Cactus, which is just, but you think of growing and fruitfulness. You think of green. Fruit is happening, okay? But how does that happen? First thing is we add. He goes, add to your faith. Faith is a starting point, right? We trust Christ by faith. The Bible tells us that the way we receive our faith is also the way we live it out, by faith. So we have faith down. He says, now that you have faith down, start adding things to your faith. When you decide you're going to live for God and be a disciple, there are things you're going to have to add. Things that aren't naturally there and for sure weren't there when you got saved. Okay? Addition. He mentions them. Now, he doesn't. It's interesting to me, and we're not going to go through this. This is the Bible study for tonight. But these are kind of like in an order of importance. He says, he doesn't say, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Do you see that? Add to your faith what? Virtue. Then what's the next few words? And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, they kind of come in phases. Now, I do find it interesting that the first thing he tells us to add to our faith is virtue. You know what virtue has to do with? It has to do with the way you live. So why is that first? Because you know what happens? If we come into our Christianity and we're not willing to make changes to some of the things that are in our life that are sinful, that stops the growth process. You have to understand that growth means you're going to change. You know, the easiest thing for me when I got right with the Lord were all the outward nonsensical things that were going on in my life. That's the first place that got cleaned out. You know, I went to my room. I lived at home at that time, but it was almost like my own little apartment. I had own restroom, own entranceway, own bedroom back there. And I had a bunch of stuff in my room. Looked, you know, as your typical, you know, it wasn't a bachelor, but bachelor pad. I had all kinds of garbage in there. And I just went in there and I'm like, I just cleaned it all out. Just threw it all away. Then all the albums got thrown out. And actually, there was actually wall space. It actually looked like a room. And my mom kind of freaked out when she got saved. She says, I don't know what happened to this kid. He came home and he's changed. So all those outward things had to go. Because as I took those things away, it kind of separated those things that maybe were I put before God, that maybe were keeping me from getting closer to God. And I had to add I started adding virtue. Then once I got out, I'm like, man, I'm pretty cleaned up. And God goes, no, that was just a start. Yeah. Now we'll start chipping away at some of those things underneath the surface. But you add these things, okay? Look at your life. What have you added to your faith recently? Okay? By the way, you say, well, I've added a lot of stuff. I'm there. You're never going to arrive. There's always more you're going to have to add. There's an addition, okay? But then the second step, and there's several steps in here, and I mentioned it a little bit already, there's the steps of subtraction. Subtraction. They're not in any particular order, but there's things we add to our life. Man, you know, started adding Bible reading and certain things and prayer and sharing my faith and some of these outward, I started adding. But as I mentioned, there was a lot of subtracting, lopping off. Romans 12:1. Actually, that should be Hebrews 12:1. Okay, but Romans 12:1 is good too. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. All of us could testify that's true. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If our Christian life is likened to a race, okay, and it starts the moment we get saved, and, you know, we're going to run the race correctly. We're in on that. We need to get rid of all the things that would hinder us from running the race. I know this. If you are training for a marathon, you don't have a lot of times where you go eat at Pizza Mania. That's a place around the corner from my house that's really good. Okay, you're not going to go, you're not going to get on the McDonald's diet, right? What was that movie? They had a documentary where these guys had to eat for 30 days only at McDonald's. Anybody ever heard of that one? I forget, what was the name of it? Anybody? Supersized Me. And by the way, it's exactly what happened. These guys had to eat for 30 days every meal at McDonald's. And I think they had to eat everything on the menu, right? You know what that did to their cholesterol level? Well, I'm not a brain surgeon, but it didn't go down, okay? By the way, I would call that purgatory. Man, eat a McDonald's. Now, the Wiener Schnitzel, I'm all in. But no way. Okay, look, eating at McDonald's isn't getting you ready. They're going to look at their life and what's going to prepare me to run this race There are things that are going to hinder me. I've got to get rid of those. And he mentions weights. Weights are not necessarily something that are sinful, but there are things that are hindering you. What hinders you? Now, right off the bat, I understood as a Christian, as someone that wanted to live for God, one of the things that was going to hinder me was the friends I were hanging around with. By the way, not bad guys. They were just like me up until that point. Now, I probably should have been a little bit more diplomatic about how I handled it. I just quit going around them. I mean, I started going to church, and then I just kept going to church. I didn't call them. You know, we didn't have cell phones. You guys probably can't understand that concept. So we didn't text or email each other. I just didn't go around them anymore. It was like, where is this guy? A couple weeks into it on a Friday night, a couple of them came by my house. They're like, we were just wondering where you've been. And I'm like, I've been at church. They're like, oh, okay. By the way, and then I kind of started, they came by and I started inviting them to church. But I realized if I was around those guys, it wasn't going to be good. Okay. Now, I wasn't trying, I didn't tell them that. I didn't say, you guys are bad. I'm just like, I'm busy. I'm at church. And I took some of them. A few of them got saved. Some tried to grow in their faith for a while. But I'm like, I'm not going to go down for you. By the way, some of you have that issue. Okay? Be very careful. Don't be mean to people. Don't be mean-spirited. But if you find when you're around somebody that it's dragging you down, you might not want to spend a lot of time with them. Amen. Actually, you know what? That was kind of liberal. You shouldn't spend any time with them. Unless you bring them to church. Okay? And by the way, that can be family members. Yes. Now, if you're married and it's your spouse, you got to work on that one, okay? You can't just, you know, you can't. But just be, what? But there may be other, by the way, maybe people you work with. Listen, I worked out there and you're in the break room and sometimes they're doing things and it's like, I'm going to go take my break outside. I don't want to hear that stuff. Now, you don't get up and jump up on a table and say, excuse me, I'm out of here, you're pagans. That's dumb. Just like, I prefer to eat outside today. But whatever it is, okay? Sometimes we make excuses for the things we do in our life, but if you look at those things and you're honest with yourself and say, that drags me down, that might want to be something that you subtract. Amen. So if we're going to grow in our faith, we need to add and we need to subtract. Of course, we understand that we're supposed to get rid of the sin which doth so easily beset us. Look at Psalm 1:1. Let me really get you upset here for a minute. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's wrong influence. That's wrong influence. Be very careful. And let me say this. I don't want to be political. This isn't political. But some of us have the wrong views on life because we're watching too much rotten news. Nothing but lies. Listen, I was at getting my car washed. And this isn't political, but take it for what it's worth. I'm getting my car washed. I go over here all the time. Thank you, church. You buy that for me, so it's free. And I went over there, and I see this guy every time. You know, and I'd seen this one guy a few times, and I'm like, you know, hey, what kind of wash? I'm like, free one, you know? Come on, I'm here. I'm in the group. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, you need to come to church. You need to come to my church. And I gave him an invitation. I guess he figured since I was, you know, the pastor, you know, it's like, I'll just tell you what I think. He's like, oh, everything bad is Trump's fault. He's the reason everybody was shot in Las Vegas. He's causing everything he does is wrong. Now, I'm not saying I'm 100% with Trump. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is we hear stuff and we get influenced about all kinds of nonsense because we're listening to nonsense. You're being influenced by the ungodly, whether it's the music you listen to. Godless music isn't going to bring you closer to God. I'm telling you, and I was ignorant. I sat there as a new Christian, reading my Bible, and then I'd listen to my music, and I'd read my Bible, I'd listen to my music, and after a little bit of that, I'm like, wait a minute. These two aren't the same. What I'm listening to and what I'm reading is different. Something has to go. No one told me that, by the way. There was no message in church on throw your rock music out. I was just like, you know, I'm reading the Bible about being purity, and I'm listening to this song about everything but purity. And I'm thinking, you know, something is wrong here. So I got rid of the music because I knew the two would not coexist peacefully. Yeah. Be careful where you're educated. Okay? You know, even in the workplace, they try to throw this, and they give it nice names, diversity training or inclusiveness. By the way, inclusiveness means everybody but Christians. Tolerance. Tolerance means you have to listen to what I believe, but I don't have to listen to what you believe. Okay, so all that nonsense. But they throw all this worldly stuff. So I'm just here to work. Okay? By the way, you can't even watch sports anymore. ESPN is just... I'm not going to use that word. It's dumb. Yeah. It's like, just, you know, it's like, just tell me who hit a home run. Yeah, you know, I don't want to hear Bob's dating Bill. Okay? That's not how it is anymore. Yep. That stuff's everywhere. Everywhere we go, we're trying to be influenced. And if you go to a place that's secular in education, you better be very careful. Yes, sir. I'm going to be nice here. But I'll tell you, and again, this is just me. If I was going to a place where I was being educated, it wasn't Christian, and they were saying things and it was starting to affect my Christianity, I'd quit. Yes. Or I'd be very careful. I would definitely quit. So you better be careful what you're listening to, okay? You know, it's just, you can't even go to schools anymore. It used to be math was 2 + 2 = 4. Yep. You know what it is? 2 + 2 = 4, and here's my girlfriend and my boyfriend. Okay, it's everywhere you go. You got to be very, got to shut that stuff out. Don't let it get in there. Okay, very, very careful. There are difficulties because if we're going to grow, growth equals change. By the way, the Bible does say you're blessed if you're careful who you allow to influence you. You say, well, that's all good stuff. Well, what are you watching on television? Because some of this stuff is just, by the way, don't watch any of the primetime stuff. These regular channels, all this primetime stuff, they're teaching philosophies. They're trying to change how society is. Well, you know, I know the Bible says it's wrong, but I know somebody. Or I saw this thing on TV. Even though you ever notice, and don't really take this wrong, but you probably will, and I don't know. All the heroes are girls now. And we wonder why our men don't know what their gender is. That's on purpose. And now the Boy Scouts are going to allow girls in. If you want to have a mixed scout, go start your own. But society is trying to force their beliefs on everybody. I don't know how we got off on that, but I didn't drink much coffee today, so that's probably the situation. But I'm just saying, and by the way, I'm trying to keep it all under. I understand that's how the world is. They don't know Christ. Yep. The problem is when we let that influence us. Okay? That's the problem. We allow that to influence us instead of realizing, listen, a person that doesn't know Jesus is going to act like a person who doesn't know Jesus. Totally understand that. That's why we got to get Christ to them. Yep. That's why you need to get your friends here, and not just friends, people you meet. But the problem is we don't reach them. We allow them to change what we think. And that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help you, and we're not going to reach them. Yep. Okay? So there you have that. And I don't know what they had to do with it, but... Hey, it's all good. There will be some difficulties as we change. Remember, growth equals change. There are several things. The flesh will fight you. Mm-hmm. Come on. Our flesh naturally wants to do that which is wrong, right? And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. If I'm talking about me, then I definitely know it's you too. See, man, I want to do good, man, and I was in church and I was excited, or I read something in the Bible and I'm fired up. And then you go out there and your flesh is like, you can be fired up all you want. I don't want to do that, right? Someone makes a decision. I'm going to come to every church service. And then the alarm goes off on Sunday morning. And they're like, the flesh says, you can go, leave me here. All right? And then there's a struggle. The flesh is always going to fight you, but fight it. We understand that. The world will fight you. We just talked about that. That's the whole concept. All the philosophies that are anti-God, recognize them. Okay? And say, you know, that's false. That's not scriptural. I'm not going to buy into that. These people need the Lord. I get that. And I'm not going to hammer them for being what they are. Such were some of us. And Satan is fighting you. You don't have a spiritual enemy. Satan doesn't want you to do anything, you know, change or do any of that. All right, let her see. We get a little more practical here. Another way we can become a disciple is start by going through our personal discipleship class. Okay, what I'm doing here, I'm kind of going through the outline here, and it's a little more in-depth, and it's a little more different. But we have a discipleship class where we go through some of these things in a different angle, and you get to ask questions and so forth. If you've been coming and you've never went through our discipleship class, we meet during this time, you would go out with your Sunday school teacher. I encourage you to go through that. Everybody here, if you're going to become a member or you have become a member and you haven't done it, go through our discipleship class. Talk to your adult Sunday school teacher. It's more of an informal time. When we have the message, you dismiss, you go with them, and there's a book that you both go through. They kind of go with it and teach you some of the things. And by the way, you can ask some questions. You know, if you don't get something like, hey, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Letter D. Continue by growing in your faith. Continue by growing in your faith. Understand this. Being a disciple yesterday doesn't guarantee you will be one tomorrow. Right? We're not talking about arrival. No one ever arrives. You know, it's like, well, I've arrived as a husband. Well, your wife left, all right? So you may have arrived, but your wife's gone. None of us arrive. Okay? I'm there. I've reached the pinnacle. You know, you didn't look over the pinnacle. There's 500 other pinnacles. You never get there. It's a lifelong pursuit of growth. And some of you, honestly, you stagnate because you've been saved a while. It's something you have to fight. I've been there, I've done that mentality. I read my Bible. I know. You know, December 31st is coming. I know you're going to tell us, read your Bible through this year. Well, let me just tell you, yes, we will. I've been there, done that. You may have been there, but you're not doing that. Okay? Because the second you stop is the second you start to die. By the way, you don't do that with food. Honey, you hungry? I ate yesterday. You're always pulling that food stuff on me. Every day, you want to eat? Stop it. I've already eaten. I'm like, man, let's go to the Wiener Schnitzel. Only with coupon. Brother Pichard will go with me, right? That's our weakness right there, brother. We're doomed. Okay? But, you know, look, we don't do that with common sense thing. Have a glass of water. I had some already. Well, you better have some or you're going to die really fast. No. You got to keep going. Well, you know, I know. Friend Day again, I know. We do it every year. I wonder whose life is going to be changed this year. Amen. Let's not get complacent in the things that we do. Amen. And I get it. By the way, it's like marriage. You know, 32 years. I've totally been there and I've totally done that. I'm done with, no. It's like, it's still good. You got to work on it, of course. By the way, some marriages are bad because you quit working on it. Hey, let's throw a commercial in here. Brought to you by Brother Ross. Come to couples retreat. Seriously. I would come unless your boss will give you the day off. And I'll tell you what, if your boss says you can't have the day off and you give me his number, I'll call him. I ain't gonna call him. I don't even know him. Pray about that thing, okay? I don't have enough money. Rob a bank. All right, you don't have enough money? Let's give you a reality check. You know how much a lawyer is? You have enough money. Okay? You say, but we're good. Get gooder. Okay? You know, well, we have children. Well, that happens. Offload them. We have a big closet here. Okay? We'll just. But if you quit, whatever you quit growing in is going to die. Keep growing in your faith. If you start to feel a little bit of waning, boy, just start doing the things you're supposed to be doing. Say, Lord, you know, I don't want to have a cold heart. I want to get back to the first love. Growing does that. There's some statements I've heard, you know. You cannot stand still in your Christian life. You're either going forward or backward. You're either growing or you are dying. And a Bible that's falling apart is usually owned by a Christian who isn't. You know, by the way, if your Bible is in our lost and found, and now you might have more than one, you know, and it's been there for like 3 months, and I know sometimes you have extra ones, you ought to come get it. Okay? You know, that's important. It's just vital that we continue. You ought to say, Lord, I'm not there, and I just want to keep getting closer to you, and I want to keep growing. I don't want to stop. By the way, you could read this book 1,000, 2,000 times, and you'll still read something like, wow, I didn't see that the first time.
That's right.
Okay, it's really, you're never going to get there. Letter E, get connected with church programs. Get connected with the church programs. In other words, a lot of the things we do, I'll go ahead and give you the secret. A lot of the things we do are just to encourage you to get started to do the things that you're supposed to be doing, right? You know, that's why we do the Bible reading at the beginning. Sometimes you start reading your Bible and you go for a while and maybe something happened and you quit. It's like, hey, January, let's get it. Let's do it this time. Let's do it together this time. Come on, get restarted. We have soul winning or one by one. We're asking you to sign up. It's like, listen, we're supposed to be a witness everywhere we go. But I guarantee you this, having a time to go will help you to do it more seriously even when you're not going. You know, what's Friend Day about? It's kind of a reset button. Hey, let's get out there and let's reach people and let's get them into church. Should we be doing that every day of the year? We should. But it's kind of a reset button. Hey, this is what we're supposed to be doing. So let's do it during this time and let's re-catch that vision of doing it that sometimes we lose. Okay? You know, people are lost. People are lost on Wednesday morning just as much as they are on Tuesday night. Okay? People need help on Saturday night as much as they do when we're out on Tuesday night. And so that there's the things we do in the church are to encourage. Stay excited about it. It's like, well, we do this every year, but it's still exciting going out and inviting people that you've never invited before. Okay? Still exciting every time you crack your Bible open. It's still exciting whatever we're doing. And so let's be a disciple. Let's continually grow and strive to become what God wants us to be. It's a lifelong pursuit, and there's always pitfalls along the way that we have to navigate. And sometimes we start to grow a little cold, and we need to catch ourselves and say, you know what, I got to get back to where I'm supposed to be. And that just simply comes by fighting it. All right, let's pray.